extra, read all about it, Brian.
That's right. And you can read about it online or in print. It's a modern world, Rana.
That's correct. We always have a print edition.
That's
extra,
right.
Extra, read all about it. Today, this is the last week that people can sign up for the July box. They need to get their orders in by July 1st. The amount of jealousy that was steaming over the airwaves from the Kiki.
As we say in New England, there were some steamers.
That is exactly right. These people were eating steamers for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Correct.
The people were so miffed. That's another English, New England word.
I love
so miffed that they missed out on the social club for June. And by the way, they should be. It was so gorgeous. Connor was incredible, as you would expect.
These boxes are so gorgeous. The cocktail was so delicious and beautiful.
Nick, Tony, Connor, Mimi.
Ivy.
They put so much work into this. It's so gorgeous. I think my favorite part of the whole thing was the collectible recipe card. I'm not kidding. There's so many gorgeous parts you could choose, but I think recipe card that will come with every box for every cocktail we do, every month that we have the Ask Rana Social Club. Just gorgeous. I mean, I was so pleased with the way this came out. So here's your chance. Here's your FOMO chance. To sign up for July, you have until July 1st through July 1st, meaning if you wake up July 1st, you set your alarm clock and you think, you can still sign up that day. But July 2nd, you're too late. If you sign up on July 2nd, you're just signing up for August.
Correct.
Give them the URLs, dear.
arsocialclub.com/arsocial.club, depending on what strikes your fancy. They take you to the same place.
This is the place to be this summer.
This is the place to be. This is your summer hang. Rana.
What do you want?
I'll tell you what I want. Uh-huh. I want my loving arms around you. Everyone needs to understand yesterday that Rana and I took a gavotte.
What's a gavotte?
It's like a pep in your step. It's like a little dance number from like the Baroque period.
Spell it.
G-A-V-O-T-T-E.
G-A-V-O-T-T-E. Okay, a gavotte. How did I know not know that? Fabulous.
Well, it's a music term, and I used to play piano because I was sort of hoping that my mom might, you know, love me a little more if I really shone like a bright, like a diamond.
And instead, you ended up loving her more and taking her a $900,000 vacation.
Hit me, baby, one more time. You can do no wrong. This one's on me. That's right. Excuse me, Rana, are you not ready for the show? You're putting on lip gloss.
I forgot.
Rana.
Fabulous.
I want people to understand that I heard your letters and I heard what everyone said, that in my absence, while I was gone, the show sort of fell apart. Rana wasn't ready on time and she was sort of, then I also heard, I meant to tell you about Naomi Paragon, who I know filled in on the Patreon.
I barely remember.
Well, I don't really know much about her, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I really don't.
I know you two have crossed paths, but you wouldn't call each other friends.
No. I mean, I wouldn't call
her. Does Naomi have any friends?
You know what, Rana? I don't see
do
how
you?
She could.
I have to laugh about one thing with Naomi, who I love more than anything. She said she referred to Andy, her husband, on the Patreon. She referred to him as her co-host on Couples Therapy.
Versus what, her boyfriend?
Isn't he? I thought is he not her husband?
I don't know.
He's her long time love. Yeah.
I don't keep up with that relationship.
What about our gavotte? What do you want to say about our gavotte? Because I've got
I was just
going to
say we had a really nice time yesterday, Rana, and I really loved catching up with you. And you were so sweet to me, like you always are.
Well, I wish I could say the same.
How dare you, Rana?
Because you had the nerve. Mm-hmm. What a nerve on you, I have to say. Now, this is very Brian. This is exactly what Brian does. He brings you something lovely from his trip, but there's some kind of an insult or a challenge wrapped inside of it. And you don't know until you
unwrap it. I'm dying to know what it is.
You brought me this box right here.
Yeah.
Of beautiful chocolates, pardon me, from Peru. Okay.
Iberica. They're called, yes,
Milky La Iberica. Okay. Mm-hmm. Autentica chocolate. Chocolate
con you'd
leche.
Love them.
40% con edulcorante, whatever that is.
Because I knew you liked
sin azúcares añadidos, which is ridiculous, with no added sugar. That's the loosest use of no added sugar I've ever seen in my life, which is we only used as much sugar as the recipe called for. That's what that means to me. Mm. Mm-hmm. No added sugar is supposed to mean no
in milk chocolate. Can you imagine?
No unnatural, no sugar other than what comes from the ingredients.
Right. Sorry, everybody. 40% cacao is sweetened.
When sugar is one of the ingredients, you can't say no added sugar.
That is true.
So that's for my Peruvian audience, but that's not why I'm upset.
Oh, no.
I looked in the bag. He said, mm-hmm. He brought me a gorgeous, we had not seen each other in person since he went on his on the grand tour with his mother.
I saw you the minute before.
Never took me on a vacation like that. But in any event, he said to me, he gave me a gorgeous bag of coffee, which I am afraid to even mention because I don't want to deter people from ordering our coffee.
But it was got you a Jubilee.
Gorgeous coffee washed in Lafroy. Is that how you say it? I never know how to say that. Scotch, which is gorgeous, and I can't wait to try it. It has sort of a scotch wash to it. Smells incredible. Adorable packaging, which reminds me a little bit of the packaging, some of the secret packaging we did for the recipe cards for the Cocktail Club.
Yeah, AR Social Dunk
We
Club.
Have the I have to say, we're not even pushing this, and we should be. The collector's cocktail cards with the recipes, absolutely gorgeous. But let me say this.
Please, Ronna, go
ahead. I said to you, I already know there's going to be sugar in that bag. And you said, no, just one thing. Okay, two things. First was a gorgeous tin of biscuits from the Jubilee.
Correct.
Okay, from Fortnum & Mason. Fabulous.
From Madame's Platinum.
Thank you. Absolutely gorgeous.
You're so welcome, Ronna.
Then I pulled this brick out.
It is a brick.
Which weighs 500 grams.
I ate those
grams.
Every day, Ronna.
500 grams, okay? And so I said to you, what is that? Is that chocolate? And you said, these were your exact words. Don't worry.
Right.
They're individually wrapped. So you could just have one. You don't have to have a bunch of them. So I thought I opened this nice square box,
is that
I
not
would
true?
Be opening it to like an after eight mint, that it would be squares of chocolate.
Right. Is that not what that is?
Oh, you don't know what's in here?
No, I thought they were the squares because I bought another pack that was the squares for myself.
Right. Well, what you gave me.
Oh, no.
Is individual chocolate bars.
Oh, bars. I told her.
Bars, not squares. So here I was last night. I opened this. Now, I can only describe this chocolate as Cadbury meets a Cadbury dairy milk. It has that.
This is already high praise from you, Ronna, because I know how you feel about Cadbury.
Vomit taste of the Cadbury, the one that we love so much.
Which is what we love.
What did we find out that it was made of? Again, the vomit.
I guess some acid, some sort of chemical.
The ingredient that gives us vomit.
That's in bile or something, yeah.
It has the wonderful sourness of a dairy milk, but it's just, I would say it's a shade darker in flavor, maybe 20% darker.
I got to say, Ronna, I had these, but I had the small versions, which is what I asked
for. How did you even know to have these? That's what I want to know. Who turned you on to them?
Okay, I'll tell you.
Somebody did.
I found
these. What is he, a doctor?
On a recommendation.
Or should I say she?
And I went in and tried them and was over the moon. And see, I got a box of
them. You went into their store because I had to even Google them and find out that they have like a chocolate store.
I went into their store.
Like an M&M store.
Like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some for myself and I got some for you.
The person that recommended it, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
The person that recommended it.
Yeah, it was.
That you were having enough of a naughty conversation with them that you were talking chocolate and politics. The Brian Safi story, chocolate and politics, the Brian Safi story.
Chocolate is an aphrodisiac. I don't know if you know that.
I do. But I think this happened after the fact that you had this conversation.
Okay. I had a conversation with someone about, because what do you do after you have gay sex? You talk about chocolate, you know, because
I don't know anything about that. Yeah.
Well, usually you're happy that none spilled onto you, or, you know, during the, in case someone wasn't.
No chocolate.
You know. Right.
Yeah.
Like it's a, you know, depending on what you're into, but hopefully when in your sexual experience, you have, it's a no chocolate outcome.
Our guest is going to be intimate, so let's not do too much of this.
Rana, I got it on a recommendation and they were absolutely delicious. And I thought, you know, who's going to love these is Rana.
What can you tell me about the recommender?
But okay.
Do they listen to the podcast?
The recommender does not listen to the podcast. The recommender is Peruvian. Mm-hmm. Of Peru. Mm-hmm. The recommender is
gay Peru.
The recommender is a guide there. This was not actually a sexual experience.
Wait a minute.
I did not.
Had an affair with your one day guide?
I did. I did not, actually.
That is so funny.
Rana,
I
didn't.
The guy that took you to the coffee company?
I said, mm-hmm. Ooh, you're very sexy. Will you take me to the coffee company and then the chocolate company? No, this is the same guy who took me to all the places. He was like, go to these places, not these places. You know, mm-hmm. It was one of those situations. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, that is an advertisement for that tour company. Now,
I didn't extend my trips. I don't know if it is.
Actually, you did extend your trip one day.
I did go back. Well, you're right. But not there. But anyway, Rana, what is happening? No one cares about this conversation.
What's it like to get busted? That's what I want to know. How does it
I don't even know what you're talking
busted.
About. I got recommendations from a guide, Rana.
You don't like it when my shtetl clairvoyance is turned on you. That's what I've noticed. Delicious chocolate, though. I have to say, he has great taste, whoever he is. Sin azúcares añadidos. That's my favorite. No added sugar. In a bar of chocolate. Okay, listen to me. We have a couple of reviews that we need to read.
Yes,
because
we
haven't read them
these?
In so long. And then our guest is here, and he's so fun that we're going to just start with him immediately.
I'm about to
eat a whole chocolate bar again, and I already have to tell you, I'm having trouble because I'm supposed to go back to the vineyard, of course, for the fourth.
I can't wait.
You know, my neighbor who's been in love with me for, the poor guy.
The Democratic pollster.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And he's going to make me the muffins, et cetera. But I always have to lose 4 pounds before
Jordan
I go to the
Marsh.
Vineyard so that I can make room for the muffins that come my way every day. I have to pre-plan for the muffins.
Sure.
I also have a certain reputation to uphold that involves a white jean, you know, and you just can't look. People
Rana,
do whatever they want these days, but I'm not of that generation. So if I want to get into a white jean, I've got about 4.5 pounds that have to come off me before I get to the vineyard.
You're crazy, Rana. You look fabulous. A. B. Do you ever play a little muffin game with him? Like put the muffin in the basket?
The muffin comes in the basket, dear. That's how it works.
No, I know. But do you ever do like
a basket of muffins?
Do you ever do like a Little Red Riding Hood or something?
I don't really know what that means.
Like, does he pretend to dress up as Little Red Riding Hood, like in drag?
I can't wait for the comments about, I hated listening to Ronnie eat. Get out of here then.
Oh, they can go scratch.
Go scratch. I have an idea.
One-way ticket to scratch.
Hit plus 30, plus 15, okay? Go right through it. How long is it going to take me to eat a chocolate? About 2.5 hours.
If you're smart, you'll put it on 0.5.
Mm-hmm.
Slow this down.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm going to read these really fast, Rana.
Okay.
JH Buddy says the best of everything. Sage advice. Huma, fabulous guests. Fashion, travel, beauty tips, gift recommendations that are to die for, a movie and book clubs, cocktails, coffee. What more do you want? This podcast has it all with two of the most delightful hosts who ever graced a microphone. 5 stars only. Very sweet. And a mochi recommendation or mochi? Mochi. 5 stars only. This podcast
mochi.
Feels like an
You've been to Japan.
Right? It's mochi.
Yeah.
This podcast feels like an expensive solve for the soul. An absolute 5-star delight. My real reason for leaving this review is to recommend a luxurious gift idea I just received from a friend. Mochi from Mochi Doki. Feels right in Ron and Brian's wheelhouse. Adore you both. Thanks for making me laugh uncomfortably every week. And Up and Gone says 5 stars and a
remedy. Excuse me, I just looked it up. It's $70 for a box of mochi bonbons.
Good Lord.
But I'll tell you that vanilla chip.
Sounds good.
You know, I don't ever crave mochi. This is the whole thing when you're in a Japanese restaurant. I always think,
I know what you mean, except I do like
it. All they have is an orange slice. And then when they do give it to me, I do think it's delicious. But let me tell you something.
Go ahead, Rana.
This mochi, and when mochi comes, it's fun.
It is fun.
But this mochi's gorgeous. I would call this the La Duree of mochi.
Okay. So Rick Caruso will be investing soon.
Oh, definitely. I hope so.
Right.
Though okay. The La Duree closed at one of his locations. But this looks like, you know, this is the macaron of mochi, where you get
great.
A salted caramel and a matcha and a this and a that. Soho, they have locations in Soho, the Upper East Side, Santa Monica coming soon.
All
so
right.
We'll have to try this when we're in New York,
Manhattan.
I had to order by today in order to get it for Father's Day. Oh, well. Father's Day, the most important holiday of the year.
Of course.
Otherwise known as every day.
Yeah, otherwise known as boy, you're lucky, dude.
Boy, you've got some nerve is what Father's Day should be called.
That's right. 5 stars and a remedy. Listen up. Set a reminder. I love it. Set a reminder in your phone to rate every episode 5 stars. And then they put 4. Oh, no, they put 5. If it's good enough for Timothy and Remethy, it's good enough for me. My ear holes crave Ron and Brian 2 times a week. How nice. Rana, and then we got an email from Anthony saying, I look forward to your episodes every week and was so glad when Brian came back and the episode never ended about the supersize episode you and I had did a little one-on-one with.
Oh, you know what? I loved that review. I thought that was very sweet because when we do a supersize, it really is a gift to the audience. I feel that way.
Takes extra time.
We take extra care.
Yeah.
And we invest in ourselves and we're glad that they recognize us for it.
We do. We do. And also, I just want
to
say,
I have to send this chocolate off the Mystic River Bridge. It is so delicious.
I'm so glad.
It's going
Rana.
Right in Marblehead Harbor.
Oh, it makes me so happy to know that.
You've ruined my summer. You
I'm
happy
about
that?
It. I'm thrilled about it. Rana, I also just want to say, on a guess a more serious note.
Oh, no.
We got some really lovely little letters and follow-ups and well wishes for our guy who's having a little bit of trouble.
Everybody was... Now, Ryan O'Connell, we had on the other week. By the way, Queer as Folk out now, his book out, which I know we mentioned at the time.
Yes.
But we had a lot of fun. But the middle question was about someone who's struggling with addiction.
Yes.
His family has been there for them. And now they've had another bit of a backslide and they are sort of feeling ashamed and afraid to ask for help. We got so many lovely letters from people on both sides of the equation. And everyone consistently said, whatever worked for them, it didn't work for them. They all consistently said, your family loves you. The only thing they want to do is help you. Let people in your life help you that want to help you. They love you.
Yes.
So much support for this person. I hope Mimi forwarded them the letters. I'm going to have her do that. Otherwise, she'll have to be fired. But whatever the case is,
Rana.
I want that person to know they had the full support of the community. And I know they had a lot of support in the comments, but I want them to know that people are also writing to us personally to share their personal stories. And it was absolutely magnificent. And now, I don't know if this was on Patreon or on the free feed. Was it on the free feed? Our friend in Israel who was having trouble conceiving.
I think it was on the free feed.
She wrote to us.
Mamala.
Yes, of course. Of course it was on the free feed because she won the gift that day, which was a gift certificate to take herself for drinks and a nibble at the Mamila and to go to the wall.
In Tel Aviv?
No, in Jerusalem, excuse me. To go to the wall and then go to the edge of the old city to the fabulous Hotel Mamila and have a little drink and think about, you know, picking herself up and dusting herself off a little bit. Getting back into it. And she sent us a picture and it brought an absolute tear to my eye. It was so nice.
It
made me so happy. I felt like we were sitting on the other side of the table from her. That's how I felt when I saw the picture.
Me too.
Yeah. So I was delighted that that worked out, and
we don't get a lot of pictures of people enjoying the gifts.
No, send us the pictures, please. You know, because that was really nice. Fill to them, whatever. And not in her case, but I know there's a few grubby bubbies out there who in our audience that can send us grogged, and they'll send us a dirty picture, something
like cat hair or something.
Yeah, not grog. He's actually pretty immaculate, but he'll shirt with no shirt under it, that sort of thing.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, so then.
So listen, Matt McConkie's here today.
I love this.
If there's someone sweeter and cuter and funnier than Matt McConkie, I invite to invite them to meet me. Excuse me.
This is one of the good ones.
Right. Host here of the Homophilia podcast.
You know it.
On everything.
Writer on everything. He's acted on everything. He's done it all.
Dante, bring him in. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss. We're here with Matt McConkie / Grassi. He's going to tell us who he is now. And Brian had the nerve to ask if he was recording. He's a podcaster, pardon me.
Rana, I happen to love his podcast.
Been on it 5 to 6 times, Brian.
That's right. Watch out, because Brian made the mistake of bringing me chocolate from Peru. I really wasn't eating chocolate. And now my mood could be all over any place. Because he said to me, the nerve on this guy, I'm just going to show. I already told the people in the audience, but oh no, they're going to have to live through another one of my stories. And so he brought me this box, okay?
I did.
Weighs about as much as a brick, maybe more.
Yeah.
And milky, what's the second one?
Called Milky La Iberica, okay?
Yeah.
Which gorgeous. Really... This is sort of a controversial name for chocolate because Iberica means Spanish, basically. But in any event, this is South American chocolate. But
that's right. I know all about it.
So it's a colonialist chocolate.
You know what, Rana? We're not going to get into that because I got to tell you.
His guide that he had an affair with on his trip to Machu Picchu.
That Rana's making up this entire thing.
Was the person who recommended this. It was either his guide or his grinder guide or his guide to Peru. I don't really know how it went down. To be honest, I don't want all of the details.
Well,
excuse me. It involved a chocolate factory. That's all I know.
Sure. And so I'm assuming it's a milk chocolate.
So he said to me, well, don't worry. I said, that sugar, I don't really want it. I have to lose 4.5 pounds before I go to Martha's Vineyard for the summer because, I have a reputation to uphold. I'm of a generation where you're allowed to lose weight. So I'm allowed to say that.
She says that she has to fit into her white jean.
I am known for a white jean. And so, there are certain limitations. I mean,
I saw Rana only yesterday and she looks fantastic.
In any event, look, allow me, that's between me and my scale. I have a number. Okay.
Okay. All right.
In any event,
I have a number for our contract renegotiations, Rana, whenever that happens.
Yeah, $1.
I have a number in my head.
I said, thanks a lot for ruining my summer. And he said, don't worry. Mm-hmm. They're individually wrapped. They're just squares. I said, okay.
Because I got some too, and they're little.
Every day I was there, I had some. There's just squares. They're just squares.
Okay. Yeah. She's unboxing. That's the square?
Well, no. Mine came in squares. Hers came in bars.
Full size candy bars. So what do you think I'm going to do? Open it and stop eating it? What am I? And say, I'll save the rest of that for later? So now I've had two of these in 2 days. And he told me he had one every day when he was there. And I've been eating one while we've been sitting here on the podcast. And so anything could happen today.
So we don't know what we're going to get. Rana's ganked
up. She might start smoking. We don't know. She's geeked up.
Did you ever
smoke, Rana?
Good question, Matt. I've never asked her that.
Have I had a cigarette? The answer is yes. Was I ever a smoker? Okay. No. Did I look great doing it? Absolutely.
I would spontaneously combust if I saw you smoking a cigarette.
Me too. I would just like lay my heart down.
Do they even have cigarettes anymore? It feels like we're living in a post-cigarette world now.
It does seem like
they're still out there.
Well, it makes sense because people aren't allowed to lose weight anymore. So if you can't lose weight unless you smoke, it's the only way. That's my generation.
Rana, and I know Matt will want to know this because he actually just texted me to ask this question.
Oh.
Was your cigarette post-coy?
Oh, the one cigarette I had? That's your question. Yeah. I only have one? Yeah. Well, have I had a post-coital cigarette? Of course, dear. I've lived a life, okay?
Sure, yeah. I love
So listen to me, Matthew. You just got married.
I did.
What
congratulations. It looked amazing.
The pictures. It looked incredible. What do you want to tell us? You two have been together a long time.
We've been together a long time. Together over 8 years. And... Yeah. Wow. Yeah, thank you. I'm sorry. Both of your social media feeds were probably annoyingly filled with photos from that.
I hope it was a sponsored event. That's how many pictures I got.
Shockingly, no. And also, I will say I did I'm sure this is an obnoxious thing, like kind of asking, well, not kind of, asking people not to bring their phones out.
Crowd you invited. Though you can't control.
That was
you can't put a leash on those ladies. Absolutely.
We've got Casey, Jim, Kulop. Yeah.
They all looked incredible. They're not going to take pictures of it. I mean, give me a break. They trampled all over that embargo.
They went to create content.
Yeah, they're content creators.
I gave them.
But I got to tell you, Matt, you did yourself a disservice because this was a really, really photogenic wedding. I mean, it really, every beautiful picture I saw of it looked absolutely fantastic.
And it looked like the weather was great too.
It was perfect. It was a little hot during the ceremony.
Yeah.
Were you guys in Palm Springs or where did you not want to say?
We were in Ojai.
Okay, right.
And it was hot during the ceremony. You know, people were definitely sweating, fanning themselves, holding parasols. People were not comfortable.
Did you supply them with it? Was there a cocktail during the ceremony?
Was there a signature cocktail? Yeah.
What was the cocktail?
Mine was a spicy skinny margarita.
Okay. And courtesy of Bethany.
Of course. Yeah. Michael's was an Aperol spritz.
Oh,
God, sounds terrible.
Grab one of those on your way in. Yeah. And,
delicious.
You each would know, was the wedding egalitarian like that? Like two kinds of cake, two kinds of signature cocktails, two kinds of cheese, chicken or
just,
fish.
Just that.
Just that.
No, but the fact that we are an M and an M, there were so many obnoxious opportunities to,
M&Ms.
You know, exactly. And
you didn't even have to have custom M&Ms made.
That's true.
We didn't go down that. We didn't go down that road.
That's true.
Look what
Matt, congratulations! It looked like a fabulous, fabulous wedding for real.
I just decided I want Brian to get a new watch band. Let's see what you're working with.
Brian.
It's not great. I'll show you. It's not great.
I told you I'm mischievous. You gave me this chocolate. Now I'm going to ruin your life.
This is the chocolate's talking.
That's what's going to happen.
I'm trying to, I don't know how to make Brian's.
Brian, when you come to the vineyard, dear, I want a new watch band, okay?
It's like a canvas.
It is sort of a fun vineyard watch band, I have to say. It's sporty. Yeah.
I got it for summer, winter, spring. So.
Oh, but not fall. So what do you do for fall?
For fall, I do a totally different look.
Yeah.
Just for October and November.
Do you keep it on for tennis? Because I see you are really out there on the course.
Thank you, Matt. Thank you. I do keep it on for tennis because I've got – you don't think I put this in my fucking watch? You don't think I press tennis in my watch to figure out what my cal count is? I do keep it on through tennis. And what's so great is, you know, I look to my colleagues, Roger and, you know, Rafa and
Peers.
Jonah.
Yeah. Vic. Yeah. Novak.
Mm-hmm. Novak.
Novak. Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. So I look to my peers
Less
and I say,
to
what
him.
A-
yeah.
Lester.
No, less to Novak. Djokovic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Anti-vax.
And that's a funny joke, Ron.
Oh, right.
Novak Djokovic. That's funny.
Yeah. He's a real. Like a yeah. Joke. That's all. I'm sure all the kids in Serbia made fun of him in school. saying like, you're the joke. You know, you're exactly. a joke. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah. They're very, I got to say, the Serbian sense of humor is at its all time.
Oh, right. They, you know what? They're a warm, and no, I'm not going to, we won't.
No, we're anyway. Not going to go there because they're having a
We're just
time.
Talking about him. No. Anyway.
That's right. Anyway, the point is, yes, Matt, this is tennis and tennis, it's an accessory. And by the way, I want you to know that your friend Casey Wilson did a tribute to me at tennis. She wore, because we take tennis from the same person, she wore her ball bag like a tote, which is like my
iconic signature look.
Yes,
were there any shout outs? Were there any shout outs to me at your wedding or anything?
God, I'm sure there were, but you know how it is. You get sucked into it. You're not part of every conversation.
That's
right?
True. That's true.
Your presence was felt. This is the grossest, honestly braggiest thing that I will ever say.
Okay.
Which is that I think that Rana would have approved of our wedding.
Oh, I think absolutely.
I thought it looked incredible. I really did.
Matt, I'm not even going to lie. It was the first time. I don't want to say the first because I've been to some beautiful weddings, but it was one of the first times that I was like, oh yeah, this is how I would want my wedding. This is perfect.
You didn't say that about Stephanie's wedding though.
Rana, that was a long time ago. And I did say that about Stephanie's wedding, but I was so mad she was getting married that I was
You mean it now.
You see?
Now I mean it.
Yeah.
And I was so upset that day.
I'm just giving him a little trouble. It looked incredible. Everybody looked amazing. And they looked like everyone had so much fun. It was so happy for you guys. And I'm just delighted. And so wait a second. You changed your name. Is that right? Calling you Matt McConkey or Matt Grassy?
Oh, shit.
Is it Grassy or Grassy?
What do you want?
It's Grassy, but I don't have an answer. Like I did...
What do you want us to put on the podcast listing?
Oh, God. I guess you can put McConkey just because I haven't.
Who's the host of Homophilia?
Still Matt McConkey,
okay,
I guess.
Matt McConkey
this is what I want to
In
know.
Conversation, yeah. I'm saying Grassy. I still don't
know.
You
got to get used to it. It's a transition.
Matt, tell
period.
Me about the decision to change your name because I feel like it's very rare that you hear this. So I'm
right.
curious
well,
what.
I yeah. am.
No,
a wife. First and foremost, I am a wife.
You are a real housewife.
He's trying to. You're trying to get on Bravo. That's why. Yeah.
Part of it was just like the opportunity to jump ship on McConkey was so exciting. I had to take it.
I hear you.
You know, Michael didn't encourage this or expect it, but because yes, it's unconventional. You know, a lot of like some gay couples will hyphenate their names, but. I was excited to get rid of my name. I don't really have any emotional attachment to my name. And the big thing was, if we have children, I don't know that we will. If we do, first of all, I'm not going to saddle that child with McConkey or McConkey hyphen Grassy or any version of that. And I'm not going to be the McConkey while I'm there and have a bunch of Grassies and I'm the odd man out, you know?
That's why my granddaughter's Glickman. Just Glickman.
Mm-hmm. Just Glickman.
The other two names. The other two names weren't names you want.
She's just.
I'll just leave it at that. They just weren't
Glickman.
Names you want.
Got it. Yeah.
You know.
So
not that I wanted anyone. I said that's not him. You said you want my dough. Let's leave it right at Glickman.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's a great. Now that's the. That was my other option. Honestly, was to just
Matt Glickman.
Change
Cute
it.
Name.
So, sounds pretty good.
So listen,
it does
Matt.
Have a ring.
Desperate people write to us on this show.
It's awful.
Sometimes their problems are completely trivial. I don't even know why we engage with them. Other times, they really do need our help, and we're genuinely there for them. But we're there for them no matter what.
Of course.
Absolutely.
And, you know, somebody wrote in the other day, they wrote a follow-up. They said, I couldn't believe you read my letter. And I thought to myself, I couldn't believe we read it either. But the truth is, it was a light week. And this week's a little light too. So
are there weeks that you reject? Do letters go into the bin? And
of every week, letters go into the bin.
I won't say they go in the bin, but I'll say they don't get selected. How does
they
that
go
sound?
In the recycling Got to it. Reuse later?
They go in the they go back in the ball pit.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Until Rana tells me to press those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I release those balls right in my between.
Yes, it's a bit like Powerball, the way that the questions come up.
It's exactly like that. And that's the one time Rana will pay for my manicure.
Dear Ron and Brian, an insightful guest. Help.
Oh, here we go. Okay.
Stats with the help. So here we are. We're like,
here we go.
They sent out the bat signal. We've got to answer.
Let's do it, Ronna. Get suited up.
Plus, this person's from the Berkshires, so I felt that I had to answer a fellow Massachusetts person's letter.
You must.
Matt, you'll know the Berkshires from Dorinda's Palace.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What's her home called again?
Is it Greystone or Bluestone?
Bluestone Manor?
Bluestone Manor, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, no one throws a Christmas soiree like Dorinda. Dorinda Medley. There's a name. She could get rid of Medley.
Why would she?
But John has it. But yeah. John has a bad name. I can't remember John's name. She's still with John now.
No.
I don't think so.
What do you think?
I think she's tossed him aside.
Does she have
I think
to use
she's
a,
done.
A different dry cleaner? She had to find a new dry cleaner. Oh, that was.
I think she's dating like a. I think she's dating a pirate. I don't know who she's dating, but in my head, it has to be a pirate.
The hardest part was when she would start to tell people they should use. You know, John can get that stain out for you. John can, they
but
should
Madam
send their
Fancy's
wedding
dry
dress,
cleaning or whatever.
You should send your wedding dress to John. He does that. He puts them in storage. You know, it was awful.
Yeah.
Richard, the husband before that, was like a Goldman Sachs guy or something.
Yeah. Very different.
Yeah. R.I.P. I heard in the new Housewives Girls Trip that, you know, Dorinda's in, I think I think it takes place at Bluestone Manor.
Yeah.
That Dorinda was on such bad behavior. So rageful and drunk and angry and nasty that the only person who could talk sense into her was Brandy Glanville. I mean, imagine that's your voice of reason, Brandy Glanville.
I can't.
That is intense.
Well, who are the other options?
We have that to look forward to. Right. That's true. Yeah, actually, Brandy is a genius compared to the other women in the house.
She really is.
Okay. Help. I've said that seven times. I have a couple of friends. Okay, I should stop here, but I'll keep going. They don't know each other, who regularly bail on plans at the last minute, saying they're, quote, just not up for it, / not feeling so hot, / under the weather every time. This last time was pretty egregious. I invited both of them to a party of 8 people, and they were both slated to bring their significant others, so I was planning on food and drinks for the 4 of them. Okay. 5 people total. I am a competent hostess who puts a lot of effort into the menu, drinks, table settings, flowers, etc. because I love to entertain and I want to make it special. I make it nice. Oh, just like Dorinda.
There you go.
Even in this economy. They both know this firsthand. The first friend, let's call her Alex, canceled an hour before the party because she, quote, wasn't feeling very social. And the other, let's call her Bethany. Alex and Bethany. Wow. They haven't been together since Brooklyn Fashion Week. Simply did not show. When I texted her an hour after, she was supposed to be at my house, and she said, quote, I'm not feeling great. Rain check. What the F-U-C-K?
Wow.
She is one of my best friends. Well, I don't know why. And battles severe depression. We talk about it openly, and often I make an effort to be supportive and check in with her mental health on a weekly basis. So I was not entirely surprised by her bailing, but more hurt that she didn't even bother to reach out at any point, knowing full well that I was spending the day shopping, cleaning, and cooking. I also struggle with depression and loneliness, which she knows quite well, and also, who isn't at this point? But being single the last couple of years in a relatively new city during a pandemic has been exceptionally isolating. I wanted to have a party to see some friends, celebrate the beginning of summer, and work on building up my friend group in general. Because this is a pattern, I have started to feel like citing their depression is used as an ace in the hole excuse that doesn't leave room for me to confront them on their rudeness. I told Alex that my feelings were hurt, and she responded, quote, I'm sorry I canceled late. I've been struggling / have been really depressed lately. And I was getting ready, started crying, and realized I couldn't go. Which, okay, but me too. Wait a minute. These aren't my listeners, are they? That's why I planned an effing party in the first place. I'm feeling like shit. And I wanted to see some friends. Do I need to contextualize all my invites with, quote, I'm depressed and lonely, so don't bail, please? My question is, what can I even say in these situations? I haven't brought it up with Bethany yet because she is very conflict averse, you don't say, and has a tendency to get defensive and shut down. I don't want to be insensitive, and I know that everyone has different mental health barriers, but they're also being dismissive of my feelings and time. I want to be honest and ask for some accountability for it before I get so resentful that it impacts the friendships. Thanks for any insight or advice. Bummed in the Berkshires. I don't think they're really from the Berkshires. I think that was just their little housewives analogies that they were using. But you know what? They've got the right guest for it today.
They sure do.
I have a quick question. When they said party, are they just talking about the five of them or was there a party beyond that?
He's got his pan out. I think it was, I think it was two, her two friends and their two significant others and her. That's what I think.
So that was the party. Okay.
I think that was everybody.
Got it.
That's what I got. Yeah.
Party, no party. It went from party to no party.
Got it.
Yeah.
Matt.
It's tough.
Wait, I had invited both of them to a party of eight people. Sorry. Oh, and they were both, so it went from eight to four.
It's a little awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. First of all, I'm just surprised that people aren't still using COVID as an excuse when they want to bail on something. Yeah. That's the obvious kind of bulletproof way to get out of something.
Point. Really, that is a good point. Why look like a schmuck when you could just say it's COVID's fault?
It's right there for the taking. But I don't know, something tells me that she's maybe investing in the wrong friendships a little bit. And I don't think that it means she needs to drop these friends because it does sound like they are struggling and probably need her support to a certain degree. But maybe there's just a shift in who you're prioritizing. Like, are you getting back what you're putting in?
Yeah.
I wonder, too, if these are just not the party friends. These are not the friends to rely on in that
That's
way.
That's a good point. Yeah.
These are the friends to, I don't know, you know, complain with or kiki with or whatever, just sort of check in with, that kind of thing.
These are the friends you sit under an Afghan blanket with.
Yes.
So these are the friends that you're like, hey, just the two or three of us, and we're ordering in and we're having a cheese party and we're watching Bilbo Baggins or whatever movie that is over and over again.
Absolutely no makeup involved.
Sweats only.
Yeah. Sweats only.
This is a sweats only situation. This is no makeup. This is Thai food. This is no significant others. Why even bring them into this, to be honest with you? This is girls' night college friend situation is what this is.
Yeah, they're just not the people to
you've
do social hours
You've
with
put
like
a
that.
Square peg in a round hole.
And I wonder if you... I couldn't get a sense of whether this was the first time this had happened like this or not.
No, they cancel all the time.
Yeah, so, you know... I think these aren't those.
Sentence of the letter is, I have a couple of friends, they don't know each other, who regularly bail on plans at the last minute. Then they say,
oh, they don't know each other. Alex and Bethany don't know each other.
She's got two of these friends. That's the other thing I need you to red flag for me.
No kidding, because I need to tell you that if I'm depressed, the last thing I want to do is go somewhere and meet a lot of new people, even one new person, to be honest with you. I want a sweater.
I'm not saying this is the hostess's fault.
It's not.
No, but they don't want to get dressed.
They don't want to do it. So these are friends that you have separately who, I think to Matt's point, if they are people who are taking more than giving by, you know, a large amount, then that's something to look into. But these are not friends who want to meet new people right now. They're just not.
And it's not okay, by the way, that they're behaving like this. It's not okay.
It's so rude.
You made a party for eight people and they just bailed. None of that is okay.
It's rude.
But you need to accept this as these are the rules of engagement with these people. So if you really do want to be friends with them and you really do struggle with depression yourself, and these are the friends that you all talk about that with, if these are your, you know, the people you kvetch with, they come over and you complain about this, you complain about, which, by the way,
it's
not
fun.
Always, not necessarily, sometimes fun, sometimes not the healthiest thing. I don't know how often it's happening.
That's true.
But If these are your Kvetchy friends, don't invite them to the ball, okay? They don't even want to go to Walgreens when they're out of Aquaphor.
No. Okay? They want to watch Love is Blind, yeah, 5 episodes in a row, but with ice cream barely.
This is not the social group you're trying to build up for the summer.
And I don't think they want to make plans. I think that's another part of it. I think that you're going to have to, it's going to be catch as catch can. And
well, what they don't want to do is stick to plans. They'll make plans a week out, a month out, a year out. These are the people you invite to your wedding that don't come. Never mind coming to a dinner party. These are the people that mess with your head count. Whenever you have a head count, these are the people. I told you I needed to know by a week before, a month before, whatever it is. These people do not care. They play by their own rules. I'm absolutely not interested, and I'm going to get rammed for this. I'm not interested in her bursting into tears while she's getting dressed to come to your party. I don't believe it happened for a minute, okay? I believe she told you that because there's nothing you can say to come back from that except, oh, I'm so sorry. I hope you're okay. That was that. I can show you what that text looked like.
A little manipulative. Yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For not sure. That was it. None of that. No, none of that happened. She went to put on her pants and said, I really rather wear sweatpants tonight. I don't want to wear anything with the zipper. I'm not going. Yep. And that was it. And that is how much thought goes into your party for her. And that is the case.
Also, why do you want your two closest friends to meet each other anyway? I always feel like that could be kind of messy. Not messy bad, but just sort of like, what do you want to do three's company for? Or three's a crowd for?
If you're going to try and pull out of this mode a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said that, you said that you have been feeling sort of down for the last couple of years. You're trying to pull out of that. Who hasn't? The pandemic, et cetera, your words. You need to rethink the prominence of these people in your life.
Yeah.
I have
these
a question.
These people don't have a ton to offer at the moment. They have intimacy to offer, meaning long-term friendship and close friendship, etc. But they don't have, these aren't necessarily the people that are pulling you up. These might be the people that are pulling you down a little bit. Mm-hmm.
And when you are down, they're probably very happy to take the call.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Yeah.
Matt, I have a question for you, and it's very personal.
Oh, great. Boy.
Is there anyone who you invited to your wedding who you are no longer speaking with post-wedding?
Great. Well, I mean, look, my wedding was a month ago, so we haven't haven't really had time to end any friendships.
Was there anyone that was supposed to come and didn't come, and now you're not speaking to them? And
but there are people that I didn't invite, and I can already feel the line in the sand having been drawn.
Absurd.
By them, yeah. Like I didn't invite any friends from high school.
Yeah.
Because almost all of them have voted wrong at some point.
Of course, they're all traumatized.
Been born again, you know. I just feel like, I don't know, you don't get to come to a gay wedding if I don't know that you at least voted for Biden in the last election.
Right.
That's the price of entry. So, so that's where, you know, some relationships are probably going to change.
But there was no one who said they were coming and didn't come.
Or got too drunk or interrupted something.
No.
I'm trying to think. I think one person who didn't come because they had COVID.
So they
and
said.
And we don't know.
So
that.
They said.
We don't
know. Or that, they just didn't want to put their.
That's worth an investigation, Matt.
Snapshot. I want a snapshot of that rapid.
Show me that rapid.
So listen, dear. Yeah, don't expect anything from these people. Save yourself the trouble of getting upset about it. But also keep in mind, I will say this. This is a slow burn. This is an erosion. If these people don't choose to change their lives, the way they're living their lives, what they want from their lives, this doesn't get better. This just becomes more and more who they are. So you have to think about who you want to surround yourself with. I'm not saying cut bait, but I'm saying just keep in the back of your mind, is this enriching my life Or am I just sort of here when they need them and they're not here for me, or whatever it is? Because you can offer help and offer help and offer help. And the 100th time you extend your hand that they don't take it, they're not taking it. They've told you 100 times they're not taking it. So stop extending it. If this is really about you expanding your social circle, marvelous. But these people aren't social. So why would you invite them to a social event? I think is what we're sort of saying. Is that right?
100%.
They are not invited to arsocial.club.
Absolutely.
And Matt, well, that is our cocktail.
It's perfect for them.
Oh, right.
They can wear, they can do it from home.
That's
they can
true.
Darken their Zoom screen.
Come on,
if
come
they
on.
They don't want people to see them.
<You're>
if
right.
They don't want people to see them. They can observe and feel that they did something.
True.
Pardon me. Yeah. And of course, they can pay the entrance fee if they want to. But yeah, these are people that don't want to leave the house, and the pandemic has only confirmed that for them. Mm-hmm. All right, dear.
Dearest Ron and Brian and Matt McConkey, I'm putting in. They didn't know you were going to be the guest.
Matt Grassi.
Sorry, shit. Matt Grassi.
See,
I answered to both.
What about Matt Degrassi? Did you ever think of that one?
I mean, weirdly, Michael Grassi wrote on Degrassi. And
is that true?
Yeah. And isn't that odd? Yeah.
Is he from Canada?
He is.
Are you going to get a, are you going to be able to get a citizenship there?
He's from Montreal, and I'm working on it.
In a
high, the long game.
You got, but I know.
Is he Italian?
The day we met.
It'll all be worth it in the end.
Yes, he is Italian.
Uh-huh. Italian? His parents were Italian?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So you know, grandparents don't speak any English.
Where from?
Full of time.
Is he an Italian citizen? He must be. It's so easy to get citizenship there if, like, anyone in your family is.
I don't think he has citizenship, actually.
Well, that's okay, because you've got Canada. But and that's really
the we're working on it. We got to get it.
You should get the Italian while you're at it. But it does take a little. It's not hard to do the application process, but they do want you to come sit there for a month or something like that while they decide.
Right. Which, yeah. Happy to do that.
Yeah.
Sure,
happy to
why
oblige.
Not? Month in Italy. Okay. Something I always feared happened. I looked at my husband's same-sex male couple here. Uh-huh. B Messenger, so Facebook Messenger, after a day drinking by the pool. That is not the right order.
I already see this.
I don't
want
to hear someone
upset.
Drunk looking at a phone.
I also
this is
get
the
upset.
Worst.
Yeah, and I get upset that we have fans that use Facebook Messenger.
I know what you mean.
As an app.
Yeah.
Not just as a, somebody wrote to me, I better go check it out.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, after a day drinking by the pool this weekend, I saw a very inappropriate exchange between him and someone I knew he's hooked up with in college. How do I know? Years ago, we were in New Orleans for the first and last time. Thank you. And while waiting for our Uber in the hotel lounge, some tall, attractive man came through. And
this
my husband's
whole
eyes-
story already went from bad to worse. I just want New Orleans... I love New Orleans, but let me tell you, they weren't doing New Orleans the way I do New Orleans.
No, they were doing.
No, they
listen,
were not.
If they're
no,
day
they were
drinking by the
Padre
pool and looking
Island
through Facebook Messenger's apps,
yeah.
So this
they
is a spring break.
Any of these places.
This is not how we do it.
Yeah, yeah.
No. And while waiting for our Uber in the hotel lounge, some tall, attractive man came through and my husband's eyes lit up and he said, I know him. Can I go talk to him? I said, sure, why not? But the enthusiasm left me on alert. I got a call from a friend during, I mean, this is already toxic and nothing's happened. I got a call from a friend
Can
during
I
that
go
time.
Talk to him?
Sure, why not?
Odd.
Mm. I got a call from a friend during that time and waited outside until our car arrived. We both got in the car while I continued chatting with my friend. It's nice. When I saw my husband text his BFF, I just ran into X. Haven't seen him in year. Of course I see someone I hooked up with in front of my BF, knowing that triggers him. Early in our relationship,
what
I told
is
him,
this level of discourse?
This is really bad. Early in our relationship,
that's the text you oversaw.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in year. Early in our relationship, I told him I didn't want to hear much about his past. And if we ran into people, oh boy, he's had a sexual relationship with, I would prefer simply not to know as I can spiral on this one. Mm. I told him I saw the exchange since I was sitting right next to him and it didn't feel great, but I left it alone and asked him to be more inconspicuous next time. Sounds like he left it alone for sure. My husband and I have been together 10 years.
Can you do me a favor and just lie to me next time instead? Honestly. And he said, I tried to, but you looked at my phone.
Yeah. Anyway, I left it alone right after telling him that please be more inconspicuous. My husband and I have been together 10 years, 2.5 married, and we do not, all caps, have an open relationship, and it's something we agreed upon. No judgments, as many of our friends do. I just know I'm not equipped for that kind of setup. We have a really great life, communicate well, financially sound, homeowners, have built something that I'm quite proud of and really couldn't have dreamed of growing up. How's the sex life? Well, not great, and it really never has been.
Yay!
My husband's always said he's not the most sexual person and sex isn't that important to him. Uh-oh. I'm on the other end of that spectrum, but I think we do a decent job of trying to meet in the middle.
That's a twist I wasn't expecting. Yeah.
I've asked my husband to speak to his therapist. We've both been in therapy since before we met about this, and he has always said he's too uncomfortable to do so. We've also had a Why are you seeing separate therapists? I mean, that's fine, but like, this is, you got to see one together.
Well, we've also had their own people
I agree. They should keep their own, but I think they probably need
A joint. Yeah.
And this is what couples therapy was made for.
This is exactly what it's made for.
Orna Goralnik to handle this for us.
We've also had a relationship worth spat about being on phones and social media. Pretty much my husband just scrolls and scrolls and scrolls and doesn't even realize, and it is often combative when I mention it. Why do you have a problem with it? It's not different than you walking around listening to your podcast. Rana, that's personal.
Of him. You expect me to give good advice to you? My advice after is drop him like a shoe.
Throws an arrow at you like that?
Yeah.
Not the same.
Any
opinion,
one of us. We're all podcast disease.
That's right. This is fighting words.
Coming for all of us.
I feel like if you're on your phone when we're together, then you're not present. My husband can drink too much. And when he gets that way, it turns into a real don't tell me and can be a bit defiant. Mm. 2 years ago, I can't believe these two people are still alive. 2 years ago, we went to a vacation rental home with my family. He got quite drunk, but it was our first social gathering in 6 months. But then I noticed him on his phone a lot that night. Naturally, he passed out drunk. So I looked at his phone to see exchanges between him and someone in his distant past.
Right. I just want to put a quick pin in that and just rewind real quick too. Next time you could be a little bit more inconspicuous about it. And then next time you pass out, I'm going to read your phone.
You're going to die at what he saw. You're going to die at what his husband sent him.
Not really.
No, you're going to die at what his husband, the message that he found that his husband sent somebody.
Was it as romantic as just ran into your ex? Yeah.
Remember when I used to, this is him writing to the person he was texting with, the husband. Remember when I used to send you nudes fondly and then his name?
Oh, he was fishing.
Imagine fondly. Remember when I used to send you nudes fondly. Brian. Yeah. That is the craziest goddamn message I've ever heard in my life. That was followed by my husband sending him a shirtless photo of himself. The other guy didn't respond back. I was pissed. I didn't sleep and buried it away. So healthy. Given I saw that my husband deleted the whole conversation the next day. So I assumed he knew he took it too far and felt bad.
But what? That exchange, that's what you assume?
Good God.
You have a track record of reading your husband's phone.
Yep.
That's why he deleted it.
Of course.
Not because he had a regret. All he does is the same thing over and over again.
But that exchange started a spidey sense that I've been trying to ignore until this past weekend. Fast forward to this
weekend. Oh, good news. You're ignoring your gut. Go on.
Good news. The pattern hasn't stopped. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to this weekend when I looked at his latest text exchange. It was with that guy we bumped into in New Orleans. The guy sent my husband a sexual video
of himself.
The tall,
handsome man that you spotted across a lobby that you booked. Yeah.
So asked permission to go speak to
him. To go see.
Yeah. Yeah. And you were like, sure, whatever. And my husband
replied. Our letter writer is 5'7". I just want everyone to know that.
A sexual video.
A sexual video of himself. And my husband, that's honestly pretty funny. And my husband
masturbating, is that what that is?
I guess. Or dancing, maybe.
A provocative striptease video.
Exactly. Just one single rose rubbing across his chest. And my husband replied.
In his budgies.
Yes. And my husband replied with a photo that wasn't completely nude, but left nothing to the imagination. I was gutted.
So that means he had an erect member. Is that what
that
means?
Yeah, was wearing like a thong. Yeah. Yeah. I was gutted and still am. This exchange happened just last month. I confronted him and he said he was sorry, didn't know why he did it. He doesn't know why he needs that attention. It feels safe because of these hangups on sexy, but he loves me and he knows that it's wrong. Now, I fully trust he hasn't ever physically cheated on me.
Oh.
By the way, that's huge. But I've been moping around as if I've been cheated on and the hurt and pain is pretty severe. Am I overreacting? Is it possible that someone can change the need for attention from others, or do I need to get to a place of accepting that I have an attractive husband that will get this attention? I'm not trying to be self-loathing, but I know he's more than the more attractive one in the pair, and the situation's really helped my self-confidence and self-esteem. And the thought of going out to the upcoming New York City Pride parties.
Wait, literally go back makes to me he's sick. The, go back to he's the more attractive one.
Okay. Is it possible that someone can change the need for attention from others, or do I need to get to a place of accepting that I have an attractive husband and that will get attention? An attractive husband that will get attention. I'm not trying to be self-loathing, but I know he's the more attractive one in the pair. And this situation has really hit my self-confidence and self-esteem, and the thought of going out to upcoming New York City Pride parties literally makes me sick. I've done a lot of work to be confident. Me too. I've done a lot of work to be confident in those very unformatable situations. Think introverted gay at a Hell's Kitchen house party of about 50, and I've now gone backwards. Other than running to couples therapy, check.
Yep.
Is there anything I can do to try and pick myself up? I know my husband is remorseful, but I'm having a hard time looking at him, and I can't imagine just floating back into normalcy anytime soon. Is everything just going upside down until it isn't?
Okay. I'm going to say something, even though you two really have the answer to this question, but I just have one thing to say, which is all of our bits and bobs aside, jigs and reels.
Our jigs and reels throughout the letter. Mm-hmm.
I don't hear a situation yet that your husband has tried to make you feel at ease. I don't see, did I miss something?
I didn't
hear it.
The problem to me is that, if you have a runaway jealous streak and a runaway insecurity streak, et cetera, that's obviously something you need to address yourself in therapy and that you both need to address in couples therapy. But I have not heard your husband, I just have not heard him in any way trying to make you feel secure in this relationship, other than saying, don't worry, I didn't sleep with any of these guys. But I don't really hear a genuine effort where he is trying to make you feel comfortable. I also hear you repeatedly pushing under the rug your main issue in the relationship, which is that you feel insecure because you feel less attractive than him, and that you have not found a way to reckon with that. And so those two things are slamming right into each other for me. So I don't know how. Jealousy is horrible. Maybe you're right to be jealous because maybe this guy is running around, or maybe he has a porn addiction, or maybe he needs too much external attention and you can't live with that. And that's your line, and et cetera, et cetera. All of this should be explored in couples therapy. But I have not heard an occasion where he is saying to you, look, I love you. I want to be with you. But maybe you're just not sharing that with us. Now I want to hear from you too.
Perhaps. I just wonder if, because sometimes one person's line in the sand is not another person's. So this guy, your husband, might be thinking legitimately, I'm not doing anything wrong. Like I'm not hooking up with anybody. I'm not doing anything like that. Meanwhile, you could be saying, right, but it bothers me that you're doing what you're doing. It might not be a big deal to you. It's a big deal to me. And maybe, I don't know if maybe you haven't fully expressed that, or if he just doesn't respect it. I don't know. But because I have had communication rifts like that, where it's sort of like one person's line is not the other person's line. The important thing though, is you have to be like really honest about what the rules are and what you want. And you have to be able to say like, it bothers me when you talk to people, don't do it. But it sounds like he knows that. Matt, I don't know.
No, you're not. I agree with you. I mean, I feel for him. I am in a monogamous relationship and now marriage. I don't know, I do have jealous tendencies, which is an ugly quality that I just don't like to feel that way. But yeah, I think what's an important distinction is what the husband is doing or the boyfriend is doing the phone version of cheating. Because if my husband were doing that, that is how I would perceive it. Mm-hmm. After the first Facebook message with the shirtless pics or whatever it was, I would have been full fucking waiting to exhale, car on fire, walking away. And he seemed to kind of roll with this. So is this like acceptable within the boundaries of their relationship?
Well, and the husband is also baiting. It's not, look, the husband's handsome. Okay. So he's going to walk down the street. People are going to whistle at him or whatever. I mean, if that's the danger of being with a more attractive person. Every person I've been in a relationship with has had to contend with this. Okay.
Of course.
Right.
That I'm going to walk down the street and someone's going to say nice white jeans, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Deal with it.
And that is my burden in this world.
Cross to bear.
I'm an attractive person. Okay. Yeah. People are going to look. Yep. But that doesn't mean that I'm inviting their attention and that I am actively messaging people to come after me.
Yeah.
This guy is doing a little bit of fishing. And it's no wonder you feel insecure. It's not just, what do you want me to do? People keep looking at me. I mean, I can't tell them to stop looking at me. It's, I miss people looking at me. I need people to look at me. And there is another issue in here, which was a bit of a surprise, which is that our attractive friend is supposedly less sexual than the other partner. But yet he's inviting all of, and look, maybe he's just a little bit of a narcissist and he likes people to look at him and this is what he does. And that bothers you because life is unfair and some people are gorgeous and some people aren't. But there's something that made you want to get married. I feel like there's some dichotomy in this relationship where every story we heard involved a vacation or alcohol, from what I can tell. Where we were on that clock and those rules and not on, oh, are we going to plant the bulbs in the garden this week? And it may be that this guy needs both of those things. You may not be the partner to have both of those things with. Or, you know, but it's maybe that he loves the stability of your relationship, which is a non-sexual, for the most part, kind of stability. And then he needs a little attention bump every once in a while. And he's either crossing that line or not crossing that line. And that's either okay with you or absolutely not okay with you. That may line right up with your trigger and your, you know, feeling jealous is, we've all felt it. It's a horrible feeling.
It sucks, yeah.
And the people that are able to live with it and weather it are absolute magicians as far as I'm concerned. It is, people will spend their whole lives picking people so that they don't have to feel that way. Yeah. And that is a completely legitimate course of action. But he's not getting exactly what he wants from the relationship and you don't feel secure. So there has never been a better moment to go to couples therapy.
Yeah.
It also sounds like, I'm curious, Brian, if you've been in a relationship where like you are still kind of going out and partying and going to the gay bars and pride events and stuff at the same level that you are when you are single.
God, no.
Yeah, because it always, to me, it always feels, and obviously I still love all of my gay friends and I love our community.
Of course.
But for the most part, it kind of feels like, oh, well, I don't have to be here anymore. Like I already got the thing that you're looking for.
Or you know, people that are in more open relationships do that. That everybody can have a little fun.
It's of course,
that's not a problem.
But that's not them.
Yeah. Well, or that's not one of them.
Right. Right.
But I do think that I know you say, what can I do besides run to couples therapy? That's the thing to do. Because what's happening is you need a third party there so that your boyfriend can really hear what you're saying. That's part of the deal is like, when you're in couples therapy, you each choose your words more carefully because suddenly there's someone else in the room and they're objective. And so you want to come across, and I think it's a good thing, you want to come across as someone who might be a better listener than you would be in normal life. Mm-hmm. But the benefit of that is that even if you're faking it till you make it, you're making it, you're listening better. And I think your boyfriend really needs to hear what the feeling is for you when this happens, when he's talking to other people. In a setting like that, where then that is followed up by a couples therapist saying, so-and-so is saying this. Do you hear what they're saying?
And
how does it make you feel what they're saying?
And what about this moment where you're being dishonest with yourself, where you say, if you're going to do that, be a little bit more inconspicuous about it. That, to me, feels like you're giving him tacit permission to cheat. Mm-hmm. You're saying to him, if you're going to cheat, I don't want to know about it. But also, We are absolutely not in an open marriage. Those are both sentences in your letter. The thing I think you need to do, in addition to going to couples therapy and possibly even more than couples therapy, is you need to go to individual therapy and or take a walk for 6 months or whatever it is. But you need to figure out what you really need in this world in order
to feel loved and
accepted and stable.
I guess we can only answer you, but... and not your husband, but you should always be honest with your therapist.
Yes, that's true.
Do you remember how the husband said he was uncomfortable talking about sexual situation? Well, then get a new therapist.
And by the way, they live in New York. Rana, you name-checked Dr. Orna from Couples Therapy, the Showtime show. She has a private practice. You can go see her in person. I cannot imagine any greater.
The wait list.
You never know. It's worth a try. Or apply to be on their next season, you know?
Now, wait a minute. They said they lived in New York because they're going to NYC Pride parties. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You also don't want to go to these parties.
Ew, so why are you gross.
Going? The reason not you're gross. Going is because
that's not what I mean. I just mean like just a party in general.
The feeling of going to a party when you don't want to go. I mean, you don't want to
go. Go to a dinner.
But you don't want to go. That's the thing. Your husband wants to go. You don't want to go. We've got a outside cat and an indoor cat here. Mm-hmm. Also.
And if there is a world in which, you know, there is tacit permission to not physically cheat, but do what the boyfriend's been doing, have these weird phone exchanges with where you send your, videos of you dragging the rose across your chest. If that is established and talked about, then you should be doing it too.
Yep. As long as you guys are rock solid and having good communication.
They're not rock solid. I have news for you.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
They got to get there.
They're drunk and antagonizing each other. That's what they're doing. They talk about how one's not a great drunk and the other's not a great drunk. They're both bad drunks together. They have that nitpicky energy. They're that couple that you go out with and then you think, oh, they're going to fight the whole time. Or they're going to pick at each other the whole time. Or just wait, something's going to happen. And the thing about the husband, when he gets drunk, I think it sounds like he's unpredictable and he likes to lose control a little bit and behave badly and apologize for it later. He uses it as permission. So let's get our ducks in a row about what we're really looking for in life before we get, I'm not saying get divorced. I'm just saying, let's line it up. Let's communicate it to our partner. Let's see if it's achievable. But it's a terrible feeling to walk around with a pit in your stomach all the time, wondering if someone is doing something you've asked them not to, being dishonest, whatever the case is, or the nagging feeling that maybe you're not a fit. And forget about the fact he's handsome, you're not handsome. What does this mean? In life, you're either attracted to someone or you're not attracted to someone. What do you think? Only beautiful people have sex? I mean, come on.
But by the way, we are a very, gay men, we are a very shallow bunch. So if the husband is as hot as you say he is, then I'm sure you are as well.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe he's got a lot of money, a big
They feel to me like they said they've been together like eight or 9 years or something. Like they got together sophomore year of college and now they're 26 and, they haven't spread their wings individually.
Yeah. But they're married, so you got to at least give it the college try here. But nobody wants to go home. Nobody wants to feel the way you feel right now. Let's put it that way. So something's got to shift, and burying it under the rug isn't working anymore. You tried to you've named 4 or 5 different situations where you decided not to deal with it, or waited a month to deal with it, where you got upset in the moment and then decided to pretend it didn't happen. That's not working for you. Okay. So let's deal with it.
Yeah.
Dear Ron and Brian and guest, if applicable, it absolutely is.
Oh, yes.
I'm a 40-year-old single woman in a large East Coast city. Could it be Boston. New York?
Could be New York.
About 6 years ago, I had a romantic entanglement with a man I met on vacation who happens to live in my city. We saw each other on and off for a few years after that. He's older than me, and there was definitely a time when I was very into him. As one might expect from a bachelor of his age, I wasn't the one to change his stripes. Okay. I haven't seen him in over 2 years, and our only communication since was a cordial text exchange 6 months ago, wherein I asked a travel question, and he told me he started seeing a therapist I recommended. Exasperated sigh. That's their aside, not mine.
Sure.
My time with him very clearly illustrated his limitations, and I no longer have feelings for this man, nor have I been interested in pursuing a friendship. Meanwhile, I've started the hellish process of apartment hunting and stumbled onto a real unicorn. It's a 175-unit building in a fantastic neighborhood. It has everything I want, and perhaps best of all, is a mere $5 more a month than my current place. Okay. It was clearly underpriced, and the owners had a ton of interest. I quickly applied and signed a 2-year lease. I feel like I struck gold. I'm so excited for this new chapter, and I'm really looking forward to calling this place home. Rana and Brian, it is this man's building. I knew this going in, but surely, get ready here. But surely with 175 units, we'll be on different floors, elevator banks, etc., right? I didn't remember his floor or unit number, and after signing the lease, I Googled his name and address, and joke's on me, he is, in all caps, next door.
Ooh, this is a nightmare.
What's a person to do? It seems ridiculous to even consider this man as I make my real estate decisions, but now what? Heads up text? Just wait for the inevitable run-in in the hallway and act surprised? I generally consider myself a pretty cool customer, but this one has me stumped. Please, in all caps, help me formulate a plan to handle this with grace. With thanks, please don't use my name.
Cool.
Well, here's what I'll say. A plus, if we're to take her for her word, at her word, she no longer has feelings for him.
Okay.
If we're to take her for at her word.
Yeah.
And they were never a couple.
Yeah.
They were just a tryst.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they were on and off.
Friends
they were,
with benefits.
Maybe. Call someone at, yeah. from the bar at the end of the night. Yeah. yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
In which case, so I guess what I need a clarity
for
2 years, on,
though.
For 2 years, that's
not nothing. Not nothing.
So she knew it was his building going in. This is what I'll say. I don't think it's a big deal. This is when it wouldn't have been a big deal. If you had found out you wanted to buy there and you had texted him and said, hey, I found a place there. I hope it's not going to be weird, but I'm going to buy it and I'm going to move there.
2 years. Exactly. She has a 2-year lease.
2-year lease. Yeah. I hope that's cool. I'm going to be there for the next 2 years. Ha ha ha. Maybe I'll run into you or something. Hope you're well. Where it gets dishonest is that you didn't do that. And I think that's strange that you didn't do that, because if I really wanted this place, I wouldn't have asked the guy for permission, but I would have said, heads up, weird coincidence, I'm moving into your building.
Yeah.
Hope you're well. I'm sure I'll see you.
And we all know how long the process takes, so there were many opportunities.
Many opportunities.
And you've been to his building. It sounds from the letter that you knew this was his building. Well, obviously you knew it was his building. You've been there.
She knew. That's what I mean. So yeah. I wonder how over this, when you say you have no feeling for him, because why didn't you just text him? You were already texting about him seeing a therapist. Why don't you text him now?
And say what at this point?
And say, hey, so funny. Don't say that. Just be like, guess what? I just signed a 2-year lease in the building you're living into. It was a great deal. I hope it's not awkward. I'm sure I'll see you. Hope you're well.
I like that.
I think that's the only way to go. And it's also like
something.
You're not ending that with an invitation to hang out. You're not shading it in any way that's like, and maybe we'll run into each other. You're keeping it breezy. And that's the only thing you can do now.
And maybe it was an amazing apartment, an amazing deal. I couldn't pass it up.
Totally. Because I got to tell you what's going to happen. And people don't like this word. And I don't like this word either. You will be branded as crazy if you pretend that you didn't know he lived there.
If you've been to the building.
Yes.
I mean, if you, or he told you where he lived or whatever it is, you have already priced yourself out of, oh my goodness, what are you doing here? Ah, you do?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not an
don't
option.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
But if you do, if you take Brian's approach, you keep that as quick and breezy as possible. There is a world where it plays at like almost like, oh, you guy are so insignificant that it didn't even occur to me to give you an earlier heads up. Like that's how not on my radar you are. And I have a feeling, as you're saying, Brian, that's very much not the
case. You could even say just occurred to me. I should probably let you know.
Should probably let you know
what
I got a great deal
moving
in.
What if he writes back jokingly? Are you stalking me? Now what?
Just write back, ew.
What? Definitely.
Or poop emoji.
Or poop emoji.
Or just ghost. H-A-A-A-A-A. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, there you go. That's
I don't even care enough to give you a clever response.
Ha is good. That's good.
Ha is good. LOL is good. But that's it.
Ha is, I'm still unpacking my dishes. I didn't even have time to barely respond to this.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So what are we going to do here? She's going to be sleeping with a neighbor inside of 3 months now. What?
I mean, that sucks for her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem to care.
I know. But these people that say things like, it's only $5 more than my current apartment. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Why would you five? Want to deal with that?
What is this $5? What if it was $50? I mean, is that what made you choose the apartment? Maybe you should have chosen the one that was $10 more.
Also,
I'm just saying
have
you,
been
have
really
to,
bad
you have to
between...
factor everything in. You can't just go for the $5 rule.
The only thing that gives me pause is you were like, I tried to be the one to change the stripes and I didn't. And it's just sort of like, okay.
And now we're seeing a therapist, but can you believe it? But also, I don't have any feelings for him. But it's also fair to look, we all have a past and people that we dated that didn't work out with. And it is fair to say, ugh, I can't stand that guy. Ha ha ha. Now he's seeing a therapist because he put you through the ringer on this or that. And that you sort of have a laugh about. I mean, of course, that's a version of big surprise. This guy is totally who he was and continues to be, you know, disappointing.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're holding a candle for them. It just means that he's on the list of dum-dums that you spent time with.
Yeah.
But there is definitely, that door doesn't feel totally closed.
No, but it doesn't.
Do
and
have
I
have
think
to ask,
she should be.
Yeah. Yeah. You do not have to ask for permission to move in there. You just tell them you're in there.
No, but you should just say, I know,
do
but
not
we also are overlooking the fact that they are living right next door. Can they hear each other stupping through the walls?
That's so disgusting. God. I would hate that. I would hate that. Even if I didn't
hate
like the person,
I would
hate
knowing the person was next door.
That's what I mean.
But also, look, if you really, if we're to, as Brian said, if we're to take you at your word, which is easy breezy, what do I care? Then it doesn't matter whether he's next door or seven floors away. If you really don't care, and if you're going to run into him and roll your eyes and laugh a little bit when you see him. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe he'll become a fun neighbor.
Yeah, it could be like you guys really end up commiserating about bad dates or something. That could be fun.
Try and find a way. It's going to be hard. And if you can't, then this is telling. But try and find a way to not judge however he's living his life.
No.
In other words, if he's bringing a new 24-year-old girl home every night, try to just remember, oh, he's that dumb guy that has a commitment problem. Mm-hmm. Not, I can't believe he's bringing a new girl home every night and he could have kept bringing me home and did it. You know, try to think to yourself the following refrain. He's not boyfriend material.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think as Brian said, like go into this assuming he is going to immediately think that you are batshit. Yeah. And that you are unhinged and he's probably going to steer clear.
Mm-hmm. By the way, there's not evidence of that at the moment.
Sure. You're next door. That's awful. You're next door. In college, I had a friend in college, another gay guy who was a close friend who wanted more and I didn't. And it was just this constant sort of like tug of war.
Yeah.
We go away for the summer. We come back junior year and we're just placed. We're roommates. We're just the building, housing, whatever, put us in the same dorm room.
Yeah.
And
the only
and
two
I
gay
knew
guys at the whole
the
college.
Only two gay guys.
Yeah.
Yes,
they had to put you together.
And he Also, I knew that he worked in the housing office over the summer, and I managed to convince myself that this was a coincidence because the reality of it was too horrifying. And it came out, I think, at the end of the semester when we finally moved out, what had really happened. And I, you know, did think that
he
was unwell.
How did it come out? How did it come out? Well, that is crazy.
He confessed it to a mutual friend who told me. But he stood by the story the entire time that he had no, you know, he was an intern. He had no hand in, like, who got room with whom.
But did he ever make a pass at you?
Yes.
While you were living together?
Yes. What? We were in a suite in, this was in U-Haul, Brian. I don't know if you ever did I think pretty quickly got him to move across the suite, like the other. So we were in an actual bedroom.
Oh, that's good.
Together.
So you didn't have to. Oh my God.
You were never in a bedroom together.
No, well, eventually they weren't.
No. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
God.
We fixed
were
that.
Were you
pretty
at two at NYU at the same time?
We were.
We were the same year, but we never met.
Did you have classes together?
Nothing.
No. Really? But the same program too?
Yeah. I mean, Tish.
Yeah.
How funny.
Yeah.
Couple of Tish grads. All right. Matt Grassi, guess what happens now? One of these bozos gets
here we go.
Free from us.
That's right. So I'm going to do a quick recap of these letters, and whoever we think deserves something, it has to be the letter writer, not any other subject of the letter.
I will just say, in my lifetime,
go ahead,
it would
Rana.
Never occur to me that somebody would ever do that to get close to me. It would never occur to me. He will think, she moved in next to me. In my life, it would never occur to me. If one of my ex-boyfriends
moved
in next to me, I wouldn't even think he tried it. I would think he ended up there somehow. It just doesn't.
Oh, Rana, you've got to open your eyes. People are tripping
clamoring.
Over themselves to get close to you.
Look, I hear the cat calls. I see the phones go up. I get it. But
there's a guy.
I need real people.
She's
dating? I guess we did start this conversation talking about my neighbors.
Her next door neighbor, Martha's Vineyard, who I call Muffins.
Oh, he's
is
been in love
really,
with me
forever. Really into Rana. He's constantly
he's coming on strong.
He brings over blueberries.
He never goes anywhere, but he brings me fresh blueberry muffins that his maid makes for him every morning. He pretends got up early and made them.
Yeah.
Because it's blueberry season. And
And he just wants to hear you say the word.
And I make sure.
For sure.
And I make sure to never be at the door when he, to receive them. Let's put it that way. Anyway.
You're playing it well. So he doesn't have a shot.
No, of course not. But his muffins are good. She makes a good muffin. I've been trying to poach her to be my cleaning lady forever anyway.
And I've tried to get him to switch teams for a long time now, or at least as far as I've known him, but he's not.
Okay, dear, I interrupted you with telling the rules of the game, and I interrupted you.
Okay, so we get to decide who's getting something special. Mm-hmm. Now, is it going to be, and again, that has to be the person who wrote the letter, not anyone else in the letter.
Yeah.
Is it going to be the person whose friends bailed on her party? Is it going to be the husband whose husband is chatting with people on FB, Messenger, or is it going to be living next door to the ex? Mm-hmm. Which of these people do you have the most feeling for?
I mean, my first instinct is candidate number one, the one with the Alex and Bethany friends. She feels like the one who needs the biggest boost.
Yeah.
But part of me feels we should give it to the husband tricky relationship because his husband shades his podcast listening, and it would be nice for him to have a little something special and say, look at this,
babe. We didn't even address. What are you doing with this?
That is a visceral.
Yeah. The other thing he does, by the way, is scrolls on his phone all the time. He's on Instagram looking at men's bodies.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, scroll.
But you know what?
A podcast
is not a waste of time, by the way.
Yeah, tell that to
scrolling
the
scrolling is a waste of
news
time.
Hour. Pardon me. Yeah.
Right. Thank you. I say give it to him. I say give it to him, and we sign it like love you know who or something.
Oh, you want to send a jealousy gift. Mm-hmm.
Thought you'd look great in this, and it's like a pair of Lees.
We're gonna gift him, Brian. How many text exchanges are you willing to have with this guy?
Yes, we should gift him a provocative video.
We're gonna gift him Brian texting him, sending a few pictures,
doing a little dance.
Very vague things like,
you got it.
Thursday's good or Saturday? Just something, right. You know, nothing.
Yep.
What does it mean?
Is this the boot?
Doesn't a delivery? I don't know what it means. What's happening on Thursday? What's happening on Saturday?
I can't believe you saw me with my hat off.
Brian's going to be in Rhode Island next week with just a picture from the beach. Fun pics.
Yeah.
That you would send to someone if you were out doing something, but someone was in the back of your mind. Just a couple of fun pics.
I can't stop laughing about that giraffe thing. Yeah.
There you go.
A picture of something funny from a roadside stand. Beefsteak tomatoes. Ha ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thought you'd get a kick out of this one.
Or just pictures of food that looks like penises all the time.
Of course. True. Would you ever? Could you ever?
I would.
We'd have to get a burner phone.
I would absolutely do it. I would do it for him. I would bust up his relationship in 5 seconds flat. No problem.
But what can we really give him?
Well, you could give him like
he just got so excited and so disappointed all in one go. I have to tell you, he thought he was getting a 1 month text relationship with you as his gift.
I was so excited.
If Brian agrees to, we could still do it, but it doesn't really solve his problem.
You should probably save that for the Patreon.
Yeah.
But in your phone, you're gonna have to set your notifications to where they show up on your phone. And it has to say like something like Brian Safi celebrity or something. Like
Brian Safi from 911.
Brian famous. Brian star is what it would say.
Well, we could get him.
He needs something.
Like a
he
body wash. Or
what
like
I really want to do is I get him. I want to get someone to come over to his house and stick his head in the toilet and wake him up. That's what I really want.
True.
But what about that
body wash that, you know, who was like.
Mike Shore?
Yeah, that was obsessed with.
No, he had some sort of vanilla Costco bourbon body wash.
It wasn't Costco. Rana.
What was it? Did we send it to someone else?
No, we haven't sent it to anyone, but I looked it up and it was sold out.
Really?
It was like a bourbon something.
Yes, but it was sold out because he bought it all. He's the kind
what
of
if
person.
We did,
he's a doomsday shopper.
What
no
if we did something from Aesop? Because that stuff smells so fucking good.
But what are we trying to achieve with that? I'm not saying no, but what are we trying to achieve with it?
I guess we want, what do we want him to feel like?
Every time he washes his hands, do we want him to think, call you couples therapist, call you couples therapist, call you couples therapist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I can get behind that idea.
You know, if you were to get a necessaire set, you could get one of their body washes, which are very nice. Mm-hmm. And you could have that every time you're washing your body, you know, call my therapist touch yourself,
yep.
touch your husband, or
I like
wash
that.
Off the old way of being. And they sell lube.
That's less interesting to me.
She's very homophobic, Matt. I don't know if you knew that going on.
I thought I was trying to give them a little...
Also, Brian's boyfriend is selling...
I don't have a boyfriend, Rana.
Oh, well, then his ex-boyfriend is selling something called Lobsterman Lube or something.
Oh,
like
the Lobsterman.
That.
No, we're on again, off again. So I date a Lobsterman here in Boston.
Yeah. Oh,
we're
right.
on and off again. And he came out with a new, we're working on a new line of lube called the Lobsterman.
Oh, this is a, yeah.
Because the lobsters
weren't
selling.
This is a different customer than the necessary lube, I think.
Yeah,
but
it might be. This is more for people who like, hey, you wish you had three more teeth and lube? This is for you. It's that kind of vibe.
Is it just butter?
Do you know, have you ever heard of Country Crock? yeah. It's like that.
That's
or
not
parquet.
Butter. That's
it's like
not
parquet.
Butter either. Parquet. Yeah. All right. I like Matt. What's your favorite flavor of necessaire?
Oh, I think it's sandalwood. There's a eucalyptus one.
There's a sandal one. Let's see what else they've got here.
I like the sandalwood.
Okay. All right. Well, guess whose recommendation we're going on here? Matt McConkie.
Matt, this is a first because this recommendation is not vetted personally by Rana. She's going out on a limb here.
It's true. We did send, though, we did send Mike Shaw's body wash, didn't we?
We did.
Oh, gosh, you can get it on Instacart. How's that possible?
You can get necessaire on Instacart?
They deliver it from
because it comes from Sephora.
I was going to say the Sephora sex or who knows what.
Yeah, this one called The Body Ritual. Ooh, a set baby. Called The Body Ritual. It comes with
Did
the
I
lotion,
hear the word rich?
The wash, the exfoliator, and a deodorant. And we're going to get, all right, so we're going to send you something like that in the sandalwood. That's Matt McConkie's recommendation.
And also,
and
I'm going
to want you to wash this man right out of your hair or wash him back in. But whatever it is, the stasis is not doing anybody any favors.
Also, I'm going to be in Rhode Island and New York, and I will accept jewels if anyone wants to give me any.
Or if anybody wants to give him a chocolate recommendation while he's there, they could hit him up on Instagram because that's what he's looking for is chocolate factory recommendations from
that's right
from
and I'll
Instagram.
Are you going to Providence, Brian?
I'm going to Little Compton, which is outside of Providence,
the home of Aden Marine.
Aden Marine,
the ancestral homeland of Aden Marine.
And then I'm going to New York after, which I realized I'm going to be there over Pride.
You really
but I'm not
didn't
that
clear you didn't clear New York with me. I will say that.
Well, it's an add-on. I don't even know that I'm doing it, to be honest. Yeah. I don't have a ticket yet.
Yeah, you didn't clear that with me. So anyway, we'll go get that. That'll go through HR.
And who do? Oh, yeah.
And either HR, they'll give you the time off or they won't. I mean, that has absolutely got nothing to do with it.
And I'm just going to send the number in the subject line to HR, Rana. For
absolutely.
My new
and they'll write back, handshake $1. That's what,
okay. All right. Yeah. We'll see. We'll negotiate. I've got a real negotiator's head. I'm a good head for business over here.
Quick math.
That's Matt, right. You are just the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
I love you so much. It's so wonderful to see you. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you. I love you both. This was truly the best thing. I was in a real drop after the wedding, and
we buoyed you back up for about a minute.
So thrilled to be a part of that.
I'd love to have you both come on Homophilia together or separately. Because we need to talk about the fishermen. And Rana, we need to unpack, and maybe Brian should be part of this conversation, just like how and why you are a gay icon.
But also,
you know
why
what?
I'm
I would actually love
at
to
the
have
same
that. She's
time.
A huge homophobe,
and that's part of the mystique. That's part of the appeal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
I don't think I am a gay icon, but I would like to be.
Rana,
oh, please!
You are
what do I have to do to be one? Do you think? What should I do?
Exactly what you've been doing. Exactly
what
you've been doing.
Yeah.
You are absolutely a gay
icon. I
think
I have to work on my drag speak. That's what I call it. Drag speak.
And I'll be honest with you, Rana. Yeah. This is what I want to tell you.
Yeah.
There's gay fans stick with people for life.
For life.
Well,
and
we better
get some
gay fans for this show then.
That's all we have.
We're going to need a few.
Are you kidding me? I think you got plenty. And
we do.
I will say, like, to the idea that this place that Brian holds as like your, this is the highest praise, but like sidekick. What would I give?
He's my co-host.
Whatever you want to call
it's
it.
Murky.
Like,
I don't care.
I think I speak for a lot of us when I say that if it were a lesser man, we would hate him because it's such a coveted position. But Brian is such a sweet, tender angel.
Where you're all talking about this? What is the where are the gay clubs?
You know, the gay
clubs have to come on Homophilia and find out.
We got to go on Homophilia.
We should be doing a show in Brian, not Provincetown. That's a little bit low rent for us.
Not
where
Fire Island. That's a little bit
high rent. A little what kind of rant?
Butthole.
Provincetown is fun.
Provincetown.
We should do a show.
We're dying to do a show in Provincetown. Yeah. We're dying to. Yeah. Are you doing that this summer or anything, Matt?
We're not doing it this summer, but we've done it a couple times during the film festival, and it was the best time. And it was, it's an intimate experience, but that's, what's so great about it.
When's the film festival?
Matt.
September?
I'm a Matt.
It's like right now.
Yeah. Well, we missed it this year, but maybe next year. But we'll be doing our cabaret, and then we'll be doing our shows in Europe.
Oh,
so
we do have our cabaret. We've got our Joe's Pub.
And then I've got to go to St. Moritz, and then Brian's going to go
to
Mont Blanc.
Me too. I've got to go to St. Moritz. And,
Matt, I absolutely adore you. It is a pleasure to see your face on this Zoom, and I can't wait for the episode to come out. Everyone's going to love it so much. Oh, we got to get rid of Matt and read our cliffhanger. That's what we've got to do.
I know we do. We're going to have to say goodbye.
I forgot about that. I always forget about the cliffhanger. You're
but
an absolute
we're gonna
doll.
We're going to take a picture
with love to
Matt.
Your husband.
I will. I hope to see you both soon. Happy Pride. Thank you so much for having me.
Mwah.
Kiss, bye. Kiss. Oh, was he fabulous? Happy.
I love him.
I forgot to say happy Pride to both of you.
Well, Rana, I'll take it now.
Yeah. There we
Thank
are.
You. Thank you.
Happy Pride.
Thanks, Rana.
Did you manage to get yourself any rainbow donuts or any of the fun things that people are doing?
No, but I was so proud of, I had to go into my bank the other day and they were all wearing name tags that had the flag on it. And I thought, I finally feel at home here.
Yes.
And I'm
this
so proud
is where
of my,
I want to do my banking.
I'm so proud of my bank for being proud of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, there you go.
It was really nice.
Yeah. Did Heinz Ketchup really do a something. Bottle? I can't remember.
I'm sure they did. I'm yeah. sure they yeah. did, Rana.
By the way, yeah. Tony, if you're listening,
oh God.
Someone wrote to us and said, I have a friend at Hershey's. I can send you the limited edition. Remember when the Hershey peanut butter pie came out
and, yes.
I didn't get one? Well, somebody wrote to us to say, I have a connect. And Tony absolutely just whiffed it on the response. God, Tony or Mimi, I don't know which, they wrote to us on the DMs.
I didn't get
my peanut butter pie or whatever other special thing they're doing. And now that I'm back on chocolate, thanks to Milky La Iberica.
They're so nice,
again,
Rana.
Sin azúcares añadidos, no added sugar. Beso neto.
Except for the sugar that's been added.
Yes, except the only added sugar is the ingredient of sugar.
Sugar.
Let's see what they did put for their ingredients here. Oh.
What?
Malitol. What?
Oh, Rana. Why would you ever look a gift horse in the mouth?
Why did I look at this?
Why would you ever have done that?
Wait a minute. What? Are you telling me this is a diabetic candy that you sent me?
Wait, what? No, they're the ones I got.
270 calories per serving.
Yeah.
10 bars in here, pardon me.
Okay.
Then it says total sugars, 3.
Yeah.
Add, how could there be 3 grams of sugar
Rana,
in a candy
bar? Don't look at, don't do the math on this
added
one.
Sugar. Is this a dietetic diabetic?
No, I got the same one.
Well, we know you didn't get the same one because you got the one that's little squares.
I got the mini pieces. I did. That's what I thought I got you, but I pulled them both from the same pile.
Oh, boy. All right. We're going to have to get into this. We need a Peruvian to write to us.
Any Peruano, please.
Okay. Go on, dear.
Okay. Here's the cliffhanger.
Yeah. I look forward to it.
Okay.
I'm
dear Ron and Brian,
Google something about this while that's happening.
I'm going to keep this. Please don't. I'm going to keep this short only because I crave your approval. I'm a 26-year-old woman from a small
Great
European
reason.
Country. Yeah. I've been
from
single
a small European country.
Yeah. Okay. Luxembourg, maybe. I've been single for 2 years after I ended a 3-year relationship with a man that was codependent, unhealthy, and just stupid. During this time, I've enjoyed being single and have been dating and sleeping with, excuse me, a lot of people. I finally came out of the closet as bisexual and have been enjoying new experiences with women.
So the word edulcorante means sweetener. I don't know why. None of that seems to come from the Latin base. So I have just eaten a candy bar that had maltitol, not actual sugar in it, but still manages to be 270 calories. Nobody knows how. And I'm just going to tell you that if I end up
on the toilet,
Yes, the toilet. That's exactly what I was going to say. If I end up on the toilet, we'll know why. I don't consume any of the tols. Sorbitol, maltitol, none of the tols. You bought me
Rana,
the
diet. I don't know what to say.
You bought me the diabetic brick.
I didn't. I certainly didn't intentionally. I picked them from the same pile.
Anyway, I want to get you. Send me a photo of your box
Fine.
Afterwards. Okay. And the ingredients on your box
Good
afterwards.
Oh, God. One of my suitors, a man.
It also causes headaches. Did you know that?
Maltitol?
You keep reading. I'm going to Google maltitol side effects while you're reading.
Rana, you're a terrible gift recipient, I have to tell you. This is outrageous. One of my suitors, a man I met through our mutual best friend. We enjoy spending time together from time to time, and it becomes
headaches, vomiting.
Rana! Oh my God.
After eating maltitol, some people experience stomach pains and gas. It can act similarly to a laxative and cause diarrhea. This is X-lax that you gave me.
Oh,
the severity of these side effects depends on how much of it you eat, maybe like a whole two bars in 2 days, or and how your body reacts to it. There aren't any other major health concerns with using maltitol or other
okay.
sugars. Go on, dear. Sorry.
Okay. One of my suitors, a man I met through our mutual best friend. Who's our mutual best friend? Oh, the three-year relationship she ended. One of my suitors, a man I met through our mutual best friend. We enjoy spending time together from time to time and have become decent friends. We mutually agreed that we were just friends with benefits, and I really liked the idea of that since I was not ready, but since I was still not ready for another stupid relationship. I'm just not ready to end my single days and really want to explore my relationship with women further. In this time I've known the guy, I've noticed some red flags. First of all, he constantly ghosts me, doesn't return messages, and it's like wow. He falls off the earth for a couple days and then pops up again when he feels like it. Mm. He talks over me and has big trouble with actually listening to what I have to say. On the other hand, he seems to think of me as a therapist and often dumps his problems on me, especially when he's having trouble with his ex that he has a son with. I could go on. But you get the idea. He's just another man in his 20s that hasn't quite grown
ooh.
Up.
Ooh. 20s and a kid.
And a kid. All well, these
that's a small European country for you.
That's true.
Yeah.
All. What do you think? His parents were taking care of the kid?
Well, any one of these. Yeah,
anyone else.
Family yeah. daycare. Yeah.
Yeah. All of these red flags I ignored because I just saw him as a friend that I occasionally hooked up with.
Yeah.
However,
slippery
recently,
slope.
Something shifted. Mm. I found myself craving his attention and was constantly thinking about him. At first, I put some distance between us, not wanting to fall down some path that I couldn't reverse, but of course I couldn't hold myself to it and slept with him again. We spent all evening and night together. He never usually stays over. And .. I love him.
Ooh.
It just popped Ouch. Into my head out of the blue. Now I'm heartbroken. I know this will absolutely never work, and I fucking hate myself for falling for some mediocre man that doesn't even treat me that well. I told him I wanted to stop sleeping together and to just be friends for a while. The reason I gave him is that I'm dating a woman. I want to see where that relationship goes, which is partially true. Still, I left it open-ended with possibly that we could start seeing each other again in the future because I'm only human. I've seen him a few times since, and I hate it. Every time I see him, I remember that I love him, and it breaks my heart. What do I even do in this situation? I feel like I can't talk to my best friend about this because I don't want to put her in an awkward situation between us. Mm. Also, I'm ashamed that
she
I feel this way.
She introduced them. That's okay. how she met them, her through him through her.
Do I tell him? Do I just ignore this and hope the feeling goes away? Thank you for your advice, and please don't use my name. Best, miserable in love. Yikes.
Best, Bettina in Stockholm.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Bettina, we're going to answer this question. Among others, on the Patreon, patreon.com/AskRana. I hate to tell you, I don't know if the slots are full or not. If they're not full, they're about to be. So go to arsocial.club to join the Cocktail Kiki for July.
We're so excited for July. We can't wait to welcome more members into the club. Of course, the coffee, which I think is the perfect pairing to the social club. Because who doesn't need a gorgeous cup of coffee to wake yourself up? Gojo told me, he's, don't worry, no one's forgotten about the coffee. He's still proselytizing to people. And someone who came over who has incredible taste, he served them the shades of vanilla. And they said, where did you get this coffee?
But fabuloso.
So askgranacoffee.com, arsocialclub.com, arsocial.club. Just kidding. And we can't wait. And happy 4th of July to everybody.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is. It's
I
just
feel
around
that
the corner.
That, isn't that going to be up right before
yep,
this? Yep,
you're absolutely right, Rana.
All right, dear. So there we go.
Happy 4th.
Kiss, kiss.
I am Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! Let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.